April 11th, 2020. This is Deanna Spengola, and I'm broadcasting from the sunny Chicago suburbs the day before Easter. Now, life in my neighborhood looks pretty ordinary. I looked out the window just a moment ago, and there were some children walking with their dogs and their parents, and a guy on a motorcycle just took off from across the street. The daffodils are starting to bloom in the front yard, as well as some other flowering bushes. And I think, oh, isn't spring just absolutely wonderful? And definitely it is. But there are a lot of things going on that are quite disturbing, as everyone or most everyone is aware of. And so we'll be talking about some of those things today, as well as things that touch our hearts and with people and situations that we have commonality with. It's been very interesting the last 10 years, which is just about how long I have been broadcasting with Republic Broadcasting. And let me just give you some URLs, some websites that I invite you to visit. RepublicBroadcasting.org. Did somebody sneeze? Yes, no. It wasn't me. Okay. RepublicBroadcasting.org. Spengola.com. That's Spingola, which is a name that's very common in Italy. It's as common as Smith. Then SpengolaSpeaks.net, ScreeningSandyHook.net. And as I say every week, just email questions or comments to comment@Spengola.email or comments. Either way, it'll get to me. And I invite you to visit our chat room, particularly the guest. I invite the guest to visit the chat room because sometimes our guests can give extra information, can give links or just interact with the people who are listening to them. Anyway, the chat room is spengola.chatango, that's chatango.com. And so it's just a nice place for people to gather, and we do have people starting to gather there now. But in the last few days, as I'm coming up on my 10th anniversary with Republic Broadcasting, I was thinking about some of the very amazing people that I've had the honor of having on the program. And these people have added to my life, and I hope that they've added also to your life. I don't necessarily agree with everything that every guest says, and that's fine. Heaven forbid that everybody should be in agreement with each other. But I believe that we need to open our minds and our hearts to other ideas, and we learn from that. And hopefully this is why people listen to the program and other programs on RBN. Anyway, our first guest today, and let me give you the number for if you want to call into the program. It's 800-313-9443. Last week I was giving the number, and it just flew out of my head. Even though I've been here for 10 years, I could not for the life of me remember the phone number. It was pretty embarrassing. Anyway, our first guest today is Cindy Sheehan, and we have a lot of commonality in many, many respects. She is the author of Peace Mom, A Mother's Journey Through Heartache to Activism. And I'm so happy to talk to you, Cindy. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, dear. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. Was that you that sneezed?
No, I did not sneeze.
Okay. We'll find out who sneezed, but that's okay. Sneezing is okay. Sneezing is allowed on the program.
If I do sneeze, I'll try to turn my microphone off.
Yes. Isn't it wonderful where you can just mute yourself so you have to cough or whatever it is you have to do? We have a lot of commonality, and you interviewed somebody recently that I also listen to, and I'm on his email list. Is Sayer G? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Sayer G,
Yes, and he is the spouse of Dr. Kelly Brogan, Brogan, and you interviewed him, and it enlightened you. I'm sure you don't need a lot of enlightening because you're a very bright individual. But you had the honor of talking with him, and I follow his website too, Green Med Info, and it's wonderful. Do you want to just share some of your insights about? Well, I know you had insights before you talked with him, and that's the reason that you talked to him. But yes, share some of your insights. And you live in California. I grew up in Sacramento.
I live in Vacaville.
Yes, I know.
I hear
Yes. Yeah, so we're both California girls, right?
that.
Okay, so share some of your insights as a result of talking with Sayer.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me on the show, Deanna. It's really nice to talk with you today. And also, it's pretty normal in our neighborhood, too. The only thing that's different is the children aren't going to school, and most of the adults aren't going to work. And so that, definitely is just a complete departure from where we should be at this time of year after the rain stop and spring comes, and everybody should be outside enjoying the sunshine and fresh air. And also, this is the time of year where viruses die, because first of all, most viruses don't like heat, and neither does the coronavirus. And when I say coronavirus, let's just assume I'm talking about what they call the novel COVID-19, unless I say it's one of the other coronaviruses that go around the world every year that most of us have probably already had. But I lost my health insurance when my son was killed in Iraq in 2004 because I lost my job. They said I took too much time off to grieve my son, so I got fired. I was working for Health and Human Services in Napa.
Oh.
And so they fired me, and I lost my insurance. So I really have been my whole life kind of looking for alternatives. I had my children. I gave home births. Haven't really been too much involved in the big pharma. And it's not that I'm opposed to ever using Western medicine or big pharma. It's just that I think that they're only a tool to health, and sometimes, a lot of times, what they do make people sicker than actually cure people. So I've been on this journey for the past year and a half. I'm working on my certification to be a holistic health coach, because I have kept myself healthy pretty much over these years without seeking too much help from the Western medicine. And so I have followed Sayer G for a long time, because even though he's not a medical professional, he is really well versed in alternative medicine. All of his articles are backed by tons of research. They're not just like, they just don't make wild claims without backing things up. And so that's why I like Sayer G so much. And as a matter of fact, I thought he was a doctor And so he disabused me of that notion. But like you said, he's married to a doctor, and they're very close in their ideas and their practices. And I have been following Sayergy on this whole coronavirus roller coaster that we've been on for the past several months. And what he says actually makes a whole lot of sense to me. And not just, I haven't just followed Sayer, but I've followed and I have studied doctors, epidemiologists, virologists, statisticians, and I'm actually trying to put together like a coherent outline of what we're going through in this coronavirus. It is, it's a crisis. And I'm not saying that it's a crisis because the virus is a crisis. I'm saying that the way the virus is being handled, the economic crisis, the social crisis, all these things come together to make it probably one of the most dangerous times that we've been living in. And of course, a lot of people are afraid of more medical martial law. There's just been so many bizarre things that have happened. Like, it's okay to get on an airplane and fly across the country. People can still take flights. There's not very many people who are doing so, but you still can do it. But like three police boats surrounded a guy who was out windsurfing in the San Francisco, in I don't know where exactly it was, but he was out windsurfing in the ocean by himself, nobody around, and three boats surrounded him and arrested him. People are being arrested for sitting on a park bench all by themselves. So this is getting just really, really bizarre, the things that are happening. And also, I don't agree with healthy people having to be quarantined. I think that's never, it's never ever happened before. And so what I do agree with is that people who are vulnerable, older people, people who have other issues, other health issues, especially people who have diabetes and heart condition and lung issues, cancer, all those things are very important for people not to expose themselves to other bacteria and infection and viruses anyway. It doesn't matter if there's a special one going around. So I think that, of course, these people, and if you get sick with it, or if you know you've been exposed to someone who has been confirmed, then you should be quarantined. But to quarantine healthy people actually makes healthy people sick, but it also harms the communal or herd immunity that we seek. And that means that most of the population is exposed to the virus. Most of the population does not exhibit symptoms, and most of the population, or they get ill, but they don't get too ill, and they recover. And very few of the cases have had to go to the hospital. And compared to the larger population, then the morbidity or mortality rate is really not that high. And I'm not saying that anybody should die. Everybody should live their lives healthy, and everybody should take their precautions. It's been shown that young people don't get it, so I don't understand why young people aren't allowed to go to school. If they have teachers or administrators or other people or maybe parents who have special immunity issues, maybe then their children don't go to school. So it's like, let's take this as a community issue. Let's see how we can keep the healthy people healthy, and how we can protect the sick people and the elderly people. And to me, a stimulus package that would make more sense if I was in charge of anything would be to like help the people who have immunodeficiencies, who have special, the elderly and people who are ill and should be protected, make those resources go towards them. And then we can make sure, you know, that they're eating healthy, that they get their essential, their food and everything delivered to them and things like that. But quarantining a healthy population is just designed to make more more sick people. And as Sayer pointed out in my show, he pointed out all these things in my show, which was a really wonderful show. And people should, you know, after they listen to your show, maybe take some time out during this next week to listen to my show with Sayer G, is that, you know, people who get vaccinated for the flu, that's only 50% effective. You know, so 50% of people who get a flu vaccine actually end up getting the flu. So it doesn't like confer any special immunities. So instead of like saying, oh, we have to get this vaccine for Corona, by the time they make it, this is what I have studied. And I'm not just like reading tea leaves or looking at tarot cards or whatever. I'm looking at, you know, this epidemiologist from places like Stanford and universities in England or Great Britain, things like that, is that I'm so impassioned about this, is, you know, to build up our own immunities. We can't get immunities unless we're exposed to something. And if we like trust our bodies, and this is what Sayer says, I'm not afraid of viruses. We are mostly viral.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
If we don't have viruses, then our whole systems collapse. So are we going to have healthy immune systems and healthy viromes, I think. Are we going to have these healthy things? Our DNA is 11% virus. So we are especially designed to fight these things off, and that confers on us immunity and on our families and our communities. It helps build strong immune systems. So Sayer says, I'm not afraid of viruses. I trust my body to do what my body is supposed to do.
Right. And going to the hospital is probably the very worst place for catching things. There are more germs and more opportunities. Mm-hmm. Are threats to mm-hmm. to get something at the hospital than any other place. And as far as bears hibernate in the winter, mm-hmm. And winter time is when everybody should relax and sleep a little bit longer, mm-hmm. because that is when everything is kind of dead. There's nothing growing, and people need to step back a little bit and just relax and get ready for spring, which we're now into. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't do that. They continue to work, and that's when they get sick, they get a cold.
Absolutely.
And a cold is a virus. You get a cold, and then you get over it. Sometimes you get bronchitis. But these are things that that your body can handle. You should not get you shouldn't get an antibiotic for a virus, because they're ineffective.
Right.
You let your body, your immune system, handle it. Okay, we'll be right back with our guest, Cindy Sheehan. We'll be right back.
With you and me, we all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
All righty, welcome back.
with you.
This is Deanna, and our guest, our first guest today is Cindy Sheehan, and her website, I just posted it in the chat room, which I invite everyone to visit the chat room. We're very friendly, and people can post, whatever they'd like. Well, not quite whatever they'd like, but reasonable things. Somebody just said that the post office has shower curtains hanging in front of them. I went to the post office today, and I just ran in. I had to email a book or mail a book, and it was not crowded. I get tired of cooking for myself all the time. So yesterday I decided that I would do Noodles & Company, which they have a nice little menu. And I usually would order ahead, run in, pick it up. And now they have curbside service. And what you do is you drive up, you describe your car, you drive up, and then they bring it out to you. And so I thought, oh, that sounds good. I'll do curbside. It's about a mile away from me. And so I thought, gosh, curbside, I'll probably be waiting 10 cars ahead of me. I got there. There were two cars in the parking lot. All of the parking lot that is usually loaded with cars. There's a Panera Bread by Noodles & Company. There's a couple of other restaurants, Carrabba's. The entire parking lot was absolutely no cars. It was unbelievable. There were no cars, and I drove up, and they immediately brought my food out, and I couldn't believe it. I could not believe how everything had shut down. Have you seen this also in Vacaville? Well, I know you have. You've had pictures online where you've shown the streets are just
right,
really empty.
Right.
I guess, yeah, no traffic. But, yeah, it's pretty awful.
It's really sad. And, you know, the saddest thing is that, you know, in Vacaville, we have all the chains, any chain you want, you know, any restaurant, any store. We have the factory stores and Target, Walmart, the grocery stores, McDonald's. Yeah, they're probably going to survive this, of course. Who aren't going to survive are all of the mom and pop restaurants we have here, the ones that we moved up to Vacaville in 1992 from Los Angeles County, as all the ones that we've been, you know, going to all these years, first name basis with the owners and the servers, they're probably not going to survive. And that's just really, really sad. That's, you know, just unconscionable. I think that a virus that, you know, it can be bad for some people. I'm not saying that it's not bad for some people, but it's survivable for many, many people. It's like we get these things all the time. And it's just amazing that this has just taken on to these massive proportions to where it shouldn't be, you know, at all.
Well, let's kind of figure this out. Uh-huh. The media tells us that all these people are dying. Do you know anyone that has died? Does anybody that you know?
I don't even know any. I know one person who's had it. I know one person personally who's had it, and he lives in New York City, where, you know, New York City is a special case. There's like millions of people shoved on this tiny island, you know. So, but he recovered from it. And I don't know anybody in my community or my county that has had it. We have over 400,000 people in Solano County. So it's not very big. It's not a big county. We're spread out. We have a big area, you know, like from Benicia to Dixon. So you know what I'm talking about. It's a pretty big area. Mm-hmm. And we have 130 cases, and we have two deaths. The two deaths, one was over 86, and he had also other issues, as many people over 86 do, right? And we have one in the 18 to 64 range, which I'm in. And they also had comorbidity issues with that. One of my goddaughters, she's in her 30s. She's a surgeon, a surgery nurse. And there's no surgeries happening. So she's been put as an ER. She's hardly ever working because there's nobody in the hospitals here. So 130 cases, confirmed cases out of 400,000 people and two deaths.
But who confirmed them? Because I believe that what they're talking about is simply the common cold. I know that we've been told what we've been told and what we've experienced might be an entirely different thing. And the media can tell you just about anything that they want to, and they really don't have to verify a thing. Okay, we're at a break. We will be right back with our guest. Be right back.
Starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take.
All righty, we are back. We are back with our guest, Cindy Sheehan, and her website is in the chat room. Several years ago, now we have to remember something: is that the media and the government are the exact same people? Okay. The media is owned by probably 8 of the richest people in the country who were licensed by the FCC. Now, this started back when they had to license the media in 1912, and then there was the Radio Act of 1927. But basically, you get a license from the government to own slash control the media. And you can say whatever you want if you own the media. Anyway, I compiled this list of government lies. And the government lies, the media lies. Just because somebody says that a certain number of people have died doesn't mean that they actually did, or that they died of this COVID-19 doesn't mean that they actually did. And when you go to the hospital, which is probably the worst place to go, you can pick up C. difficile, or however they pronounce that. It's the last place that people who are sick should go to, unless they're just near death. And that's another case altogether. There are certain times that you may need to go, but not for a cold, for Pete's sake. So I don't know. There's just a lot of lying going on, and people are very afraid, and it's causing them a lot of stress. And the stress is more dangerous, I think. That is probably causing more fear and more stress and a lot of other things than any actual physical ailment. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, and like Sayer said on my show, healthy people shouldn't be quarantined. It's very unhealthy when that happens. There's a lot of stress. And what about people who need, like, their meetings for Alcoholics Anonymous and things like that, you know, where they don't have anywhere to go to turn to now? But let's talk about, like, the numbers and the stats and things like that. From what I've learned is that anybody who has corona, they're saying they died of it, even if they died of something else. So,
oh, right.
It's much different to die with the COVID-19 than to die of it. There's like a complete difference. The governor or the health department in Minnesota instructed doctors to say if anybody died with it, to say they died of it. The CDC is saying that they have all of these confirmed cases and presumptive cases. And since this whole lockdown has occurred, pneumonia deaths have stopped. So we know that most people who die from the flu die from a secondary infection like pneumonia. And right. So they're not anybody dying from pneumonia is saying that they're being killed by the COVID-19 coronavirus or whatever. And so, yeah, it's just completely. So the numbers, we can't trust the numbers at all, especially when they're being manipulated to frighten people into accepting, you know, these stringent measures that are being placed against us. And I, like Sayer said, sunshine, vitamin D, those are our best protections against any kind of virus, and it helps our immune system. It helps our gut microbiomes. It helps our emotions and our mental health to get sun on our face, to get out and get some fresh air. So instead of being afraid of a virus, which, you know, none of us are getting out of this alive. Something's going to kill us, right? Mm-hmm. And so we just have to do the best we can. Vitamin C has been shown to be a really good defense against it. And if you get it, it's really good to help cure. Vitamin D, people should be taking vitamin D3 with K2 every day and getting sunshine and fresh air. Elderberry, all these things have been shown. But that's something that we should do all the time. We should do, before this happened, were people just going out and like letting sick people slobber all over them or whatever? We always have to be careful with our health. People need to go out and get their hands dirty and get, you know, plant things and breathe in that good earth and those healthy microbes that right. just contribute. Instead, we're like creating this, like you said, hospitals are the worst place to go, and they're supposed to be sterile. And like Sayer has pointed out many times over this thing, the one of the leading causes of death in this country is medical malpractice.
Absolutely. So
are we supposed to quarantine ourselves from doctors now because they're one of the leading causes of deaths in the now? But now we're supposed to quarantine ourselves from. We're supposed to worship them when they're just like. They're really not as busy. Like my goddaughter, she is dying for work because she, as a nurse, there's no work for her because there's nobody going to the hospitals, you know, which to me is a more healthy thing usually in the long run. So, yeah, there's so many things we could do besides stressing out and isolating, you know, another real bad health issue for especially senior citizens is social isolation. And they're saying that we should socially isolate ourselves from our loved ones. And it makes sense if we're sick. It makes sense if, you know, our grandchildren are sick or whatever, to not like go there and kiss them and hug them and whatever. But it's really not healthy to live in a sterile environment. It just harms our natural immunities. But people here in the United States, you know, we're one of the sickest countries in the world.
We are the sickest country.
Yeah,
in the world.
have the highest death mortality. Right. Obesity. Cuba has a lower infant mortality rate, a higher life expectation than the United States. And so, yeah, so we are a sick country. So this is something that I think besides like trying to believe the media who's lied to us, I never believe anything the media says. You know, the media, the government, like you said, they're the same entity. Instead of believing that, we should be doing our own research on how can we make ourselves healthier? How can we eliminate junk food, sugar, GMOs? How can we do things that support a healthy immune system? And it's not just, you know, we should be more socially together instead of socially isolate ourselves. The television has gone a long way to isolating Americans and making us an unhealthy society. We shouldn't be sitting in our houses on our butts watching TV. We should be out in the neighborhoods, socializing with our neighbors, letting our kids and grandchildren play with each other. You know, when my children were young, if we learned that one of their classmates or friends had chickenpox, we'd bring them over.
All right, have a chickenpox party.
The younger you have them, the easier time it is you get. Let's just get it over with, right?
Right. And well, 2 weeks ago today, I decided that I was not going to watch TV. I turned it off 2 weeks ago today. I have not had the TV on for even 1 second for 2 weeks. I've gotten a lot done. I'm also taking energy medicine classes and practicing, doing a lot of energy work and working on meridians and that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Taking classes, regular scheduled classes. Anyway, I've gotten a lot of studying done, and I'm not listening to all this fear-mongering from the TV. Just flip that baby off. You don't have to listen to it.
I've also done my own social isolation from social media because it's a toxic place.
Absolutely.
Right now. I go on once in a while to try and insert some sanity into the discussion, but it seems like people want to be afraid, and being their fear and their isolation is somehow comforting them. And I'm trying to say, no, get out, get some sunshine and fresh air and
outside barefoot. Earthing.
Yeah. And you know, it's been really funny because we've been watching birds more, just sitting out on my daughter's patio, just watching the birds at the bird feeder instead of inside watching unhealthy TV or something. And it's just really a time where, you know, we can, instead of saying, you know, how about we not rely on the medical industrial complex that is killing us? How about if we start relying on some community activities to boost our immunities? And that's going to take a paradigm shift. Instead of being afraid, we should be hopeful and just start doing all these positive, healthy things that instead of saying, oh, we need all these vaccines for the next time. No.
Okay, that's the one thing. When you have Bill Gates talking about getting a vaccine and making it mandatory that everyone get vaccinated. People should be are more afraid of what he's doing than of this cold that's going around. And you have to look at all the money that he would make off of this. Now, if you look at Bill Gates and his history, his father's history, their association with Planned Parenthood. They have a very interesting history that goes back a ways. And he didn't just make up Microsoft or something in his garage. It wasn't just a fluke. You have to look at this man and see what he is attempting to do. And people should be more afraid of Bill Gates than they should be of COVID-19 or whatever the heck they're afraid of.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates is a piece of garbage.
He's a straight up eugenicist, and he is a piece of dirt. And he is like one of the most evil people in this
Absolutely.
World.
Absolutely.
And no matter what you think of the Kennedys, Robert Kennedy Jr. is doing amazing things about truth and vaccinations, truth about Bill Gates. And you know, it's just a very dangerous time. But the people that line up for their flu shots every year, knowing that, I don't even know if they know. They know, they don't, do they know that it's created from last year's flu virus?
The CDC admits that have not, that it has not been effective for 20 years. People don't read. They're too busy. I don't know what they're busy doing.
The CDC is a vaccine company. People should know they make tens of dollars every year on vaccines and patents. And so So they're in them saying that there's presumptive cases and confirmed cases. They're what they're doing is they have a vested interest in making this pandemic, and I call it a shamdemic.
Yeah.
So they have this vested, they have a vested interest in making it this lethal pandemic when it clearly is not.
And, it's about money. It's about money and killing people.
Yeah.
I got one flu shot. I think it was back in 2005, and I've never had another one because if you look at the ingredients in any vaccine, but parents don't look at the ingredients. They look at the white-coated doctor right. Who says, you need to have a shot of this, you need a shot of that, and with each vaccine. They pay 75 cents per vaccine. In other words, if it's a multi-vaccine where there's six or seven, mm-hmm. then you're paying 75 cents for each one. That goes if you something happens to your child and you end up going to court, there's
right.
a vaccine court. The pharmaceutical industry doesn't pay for it. People are paying for their own. Yes, if they would just do some reading. People need to read. They need to educate themselves. Turn off the darn TV. Educate yourselves. Know what you're putting in your body. Period. I've had my rant.
I've had people proudly say they get a flu shot every year, but they get the flu every year. Are you a moron? You know? There's also, like, I want people who get flu shots to have to put, like, a big V on their forehead and permanent marker so I can stay away from them because they're shedding bacteria and they're shedding the virus.
If you get the chicken pox, they have the shingles. Okay, if you get a shingles vaccine, you're going to shed that. And how is it? If you get the chicken pox vaccine, you could give an older person shingles because mm-hmm. the chicken pox sheds, and that's, you know, older people, other people get shingles. It's terrible. And the vaccine makers know this. Bill Gates knows this. Bill Gates is in it for the money. He's been responsible for 47,000 people in India getting polio.
Right.
The man should be hung by his thumbs or whatever.
And hundreds of, if not thousands of babies in Africa, you know, they're his, what do you call, collateral damage and
his
eugenics program. You know, he even said he likes to promote vaccines to control the population. What the heck does that mean? Aren't vaccines supposed to protect the population?
Exactly.
He
talks out of both sides of his mouth.
There's few people I loathe more than Bill Gates.
Join the growing number of people for sure. Absolutely.
Just, like, say one other thing because our time is almost over.
I know.
I'm mostly known for being, you know, a peace activist, anti-war, and I still am. And like the UN has, I think, 70 countries now who are saying there should be a global ceasefire because war has become a non-essential activity. When was war ever an essential activity? You know, so if this crisis ends war, then that might be, you know, that might be a positive thing that comes out of it. I doubt that it will.
Okay, we'll be right back. And we do have something else in common. We've both lost a child. We'll be right back. Deanna and Cindy Sheehan is our guest this first hour. We have something else in common. You lost your son. And when this happened, I was aware of your story
Casey Austin Sheehan died April 4th, 2004. And I just felt so much empathy for you. And I know, and I lost my daughter last year.
Oh.
And it doesn't matter how long they've been gone, oh, how short a time, every holiday, every day. Mm-hmm. I talk to my daughter every day. Yeah. Her image is at the top of the stairs. I talk to her before I go to bed. When I talk to her all the time. And but the holidays are excruciating, yeah, aren't they?
Well, and Casey was killed on Palm Sunday, and so this time of year, Palm Sunday, Easter, yes, you know, especially hard for us. But I just want to say the first year is the most difficult. And now it's been 16 years, and the pain is still there.
Of course it is.
It's more of a dull ache, you know. And I always say it's like learning how to live if you, like, lose an arm or a leg. You just have to learn how to live with it. And the first – I'm so there with you. The first year was the most difficult. I'm not going to say it gets easier, but you do learn to live with it. And, you know, it's just a pain that'll always be there. Sometimes it's more fresh. Sometimes it's not. But, you know, I'm really sorry for your loss.
And I'm sorry for yours. And it is a very difficult thing. And
it's not natural. It's very unnatural for a mother to bury a child or a parent. That's not the normal order of things. It's hard enough to bury a parent, but burying a child, it's just got to be the worst.
And the holidays, yes.
I know many parents dread that, and they know it'll be hard, but us that have gone through it, you really can't imagine how bad it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So maybe our children will meet up and say, hey, our moms talk today.
Well, I'd like to say happy holidays to your listeners, and for them to please listen to my show called Clarity on Corona with Sayer G. And you put the website, but it's cindysheehansoapbox.blogspot.com.
Yes.
And I just wish everybody health and continuing to, like, find alternative solutions to the health issues that really many health issues are naturally created. And some of them are created for profit, like we talked about the CDC and Bill Gates. And so we should reject that and do our own research and just like what's going to be most healthy for us and our families and our communities.
Exactly. Well, bless your heart. Thank you so much for being on the program today. And I'll post your website in the chat room again, and I'll be thinking of you, and bless your heart for all that you've done, all that you've published, just everything that you've done. You're a terrific gal. Thank you.
Stay strong.
All righty.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye, honey.